بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In order to distribute His special favors, Allah Ta'ala has certain seasons. By and large, the favors of Allah Ta'ala are raining all the time. There isn't a moment, there isn't a second, there isn't a place where the favors of Allah Ta'ala don't descend. But then there are special occasions where Allah Ta'ala's favors pour. And therefore, they pour in great abundance. Throughout the year, you will find that there are certain times and certain occasions for these favors of Allah Ta'ala. Every day you will find it at the time of Tahajjud, in the last third of the night, that Allah Ta'ala Himself comes down to the lower heaven, and then He asks and He calls out, is there any person seeking sustenance that I might give him? Any person that is asking for forgiveness that I may forgive him? Then in the week you find the same on a Friday between Asr and Maghrib, or as ulama explained some other time, for example, around the khutbah, just before the khutbah can end or before the khutbah can start. Around that time, these are special occasions. So when Allah Ta'ala has bestowed these type of special occasions, then they require a special behavior. He's being so special, He's being so kind, He's being so gracious. What does this require? It requires that you show appreciation. Imagine the king has come right to your door and he's knocking and he says, are there any takers? And we ignore him. He asks again that I'm telling you and I'm repeatedly telling you that are there any takers I wish to give? My treasures are open today. I haven't locked them up. And it is just a matter for you to come up and ask it of me. So the one that recognizes Allah Ta'ala and he realizes his command, he says, well, I'm going for it. The one that doesn't know Allah Ta'ala, and he doesn't realize, he doesn't recognize the greatness of the offer that has been made, then he prefers sleeping it out and ignoring this announcement of Allah Ta'ala. So this requires that level of appreciation. Recognize Allah Ta'ala, appreciate him, and the offer that he's making, then you take it on. Okay? It's a little bit of adjusting your time, adjusting your routine, nothing more than adjusting your routine. In the hadith it is said that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ فِي أَيَّامِكُمْ وَلَيَالِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala has some special moments in the night and the day, then Allah Ta'ala has certain special moments. Allah fal yata'arradu laha, or fata'arradu laha, then you should also take advantage of it. There are so some special moments, special occasions where Allah Ta'ala is giving. So then what is your duty when there are some special moments, special times, then what is your duty? Your duty is then to appreciate them. He's telling you repeatedly, I've got these moments, I'm giving you, then, and we just ignore those moments, then really it's not right. It's not showing the level of appreciation that it requires. Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, they are the two senior elders of the Tablighi Jamaat. One was the second Amir, and the other was the last and the third Amir. So they were quite young when they started their learning and they started their studies in Nizamuddin under Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. So when a person understands, he realizes and he understands, then he appreciates every moment. Then he doesn't say, no, I'll do it then, now, afterwards. He doesn't postpone. That moment that he's got, that second he's got, then he takes advantage, he exploits those moments. That's a sign of acceptance. But the one that keeps on postponing, the sweep, keeps on postponing, I'll do it afterwards, I'll do it afterwards, I'll do it afterwards, and perhaps a moment will never come. And right at the end, then he says, hey, I lost it, I wasted my time, I didn't get much. So the right thing is now, this is the first Ramadan, and from the very first Ramadan, then we plan ourselves, we prepare ourselves. That when the last day comes, then we're not in regrets, we're not in remorse. Alhamdulillah, I planned myself, and Allah Ta'ala has given me this opportunity, and I hope Allah Ta'ala will accept. We aren't proud, and we aren't arrogant, and we aren't non-appreciative also. We need to appreciate, but by the same token, we can't be proud as well. So, from the very beginning, as we step into this i'tikaf, then if we have that type of a mind, okay, Allah Pak has been so kind, He has blessed me with this opportunity, He has allowed me off for these 10 days for my studies or for my business, for my occupation. I have no complaints from my seniors, from my boss, my employers, my wife, my children. They got no demands against me. All have allowed me this opportunity that I can avail myself of Allah Ta'ala. So everything is working in my favor. Now if I come here and I don't appreciate those moments, then really I am in loss. So what it requires is that we sit within ourselves. That is why in i'tikaf, it is important that we sit and reflect. What am I here for? Why have I come? And we do this repeatedly. See, if we just do it as a routine, then the time will pass and we won't even realize that the time has passed. But if we reflect at least twice or thrice in the day, why have I come here? And what an opportunity this is. What am I supposed to be doing? What are my goals? Am I working towards my goal? Or am I at the same point that I started from? So when you think like this, then you move on, you get moving. Allah Pak likes this. أَفَلَا يَتَّعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ Allah Pak repeatedly says in the Quran Sharif, don't you people think, don't people reflect. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that Muslimano ne ہندوستان پر 800 سال کی حکومت کی لیکن بے فکری کی وجہ سے ان کے ہاتھوں سے حکومت نکل گئی. Muslims had ruled over India for 800 years. 800 years, imagine. The Mughal Empire, and before that the Turks ruled over it, and before that the others had also ruled over it. For over 800 years they ruled. But when they went into a relaxed mood, luxury, comforts, eating, drinks, and womanizing, etc. So when they went into that mood, then they lost what they had for 800 years. Now they have to live like slaves. See? So this is an outcome of you not appreciating. When you appreciate, Allah makes you stronger and stronger all the time. Those moments that you have, you appreciate them. But you don't appreciate it, you take it for granted. You see in a business, the father works and he works and he works. He burns himself out and he earns that wealth. And he builds up an empire, investments, prosperity. Then comes the child. The first child perhaps appreciates because he saw the father working, striving and struggling. But then as time passes and the second, third child come in and they only see comforts around them, they don't see the hard work that went in getting this type of wealth, then they become sluggish. They begin to squander, they begin to waste, they don't use their times, they don't use their energies, they don't use these blessings that they are enjoying. So what happens, what they have got now, then slowly it goes on a decline. slowly, gradually. They don't even realize it. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala takes it away from them, but in a way that they don't even realize that this, what they have been working for, is all taken away from them. So the way to secure that which the father had piled up and accumulated was to appreciate, okay, this is what my father had done, how hard he worked, and how much he struggled, where we were, and where we are today. Mahmud and Iyaz, their story is quite popular. When any person is liked, you know, or any person is favored in some respect, then he becomes envied, right? It's obvious that person got more, or is favored in some other way, then that's a reason for envy. Shaitan became envious of Adam alayhi salam. أَرَأَيْتَكَ الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Why have you favored him over me? So any person becomes favored, then he becomes envied. So Shaitan also became envious, and as a result, he blocked the road for himself. Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, they also became envious. And because of them becoming envious over their brother, they attempted murder. They attempted to murder him, connive behind the father against the son. So then you look at Indian history, Shamsuddin Altamash, right? Great buzurg of his time, awliya of his time. But in his childhood, he was very smart, very intelligent, very capable. So the father's eyes was on him. Father favored him because of his smartness, his acumen, his intelligence, and the way he carried himself. Father liked him too much. Now the other 7-8 brothers, they felt, okay, why is the father's favor on this child here and not towards us? We are elder, but the father looks more towards him and less towards us. So somehow they, under some pretexts, they take the child away from the father and they go and sell him. Right? But it is his fortune that thereafter, the person that purchased him went and sold him to the king. And the king saw the good in this youngster, brought him up, reared him, and thereafter married him to his daughter and made him the king of India. But what I'm saying is, this normally becomes the reason for jealousy and envy. One person is favored in some respect or the other, so he becomes the envied one. Right? So the same thing happened here as well. Mahmud and Iyaz. Iyaz is the slave and Mahmud is the king. Mahmud is Mahmud Ghaznavi, right? Who conquered India around 4th century, 4th, 5th century, he conquered India, right? So the other attendants, the other advisors, and the ministers, they had seen, this person is being favored all the time. Anything we see, the king talks about Mahmud talks about Iyaz. Every second, third thing, and Iyaz. He will do it, and he's like this, and he's like this. So obviously, others feel, okay, what we are, we are just furniture here. We are non-entities, right? We don't have any value. We are doing things as well. Why is the king picking out on him only and not talking about us? So they became envious. The reason, I'm showing the reason for envy. It happens everywhere, right through it happens. If in the presence of your wife, if you talk too much about your mother, then what she feels? Why didn't you marry your mother? That's what she will tell you, right? You should have married her. So she also feels envious. So everybody wants to feel special. And when you disregard them or you don't talk about them, then they feel that you don't have the love, you don't have the respect for them. So the same happened here also. As Iyaz, and they began to become envious. And this is a human trait, but this human trait, it's how you manipulate it. You manipulate it correctly, it brings you to the right end. If you manipulate it incorrectly, it brings you to the wrong end. I see, for example, this person is progressing. So the positive thing to do is that while he's progressing, what are the reasons for his progress? He's hardworking, he's committed, he doesn't waste his time, he thinks of what he's doing, right? And he listens to the instructions of his elders. He's lovable in the eyes of the seniors because he respects them, he loves them, he appreciates them. So the positive thing is that I use this envy to my advantage. Okay, what were the reasons of his preference? These were the reasons for his preference. So let me work like how he's worked. Now it will bring you to the right end. But the negative, the wrong side is, the destructive side is, when you saw that person progressing, then I began to burn. Why is he liked? Why people talk about him? Why is he being favored? Why is he being preferred? Why can't they favor me? See, that person is wrong. They don't like me. They prejudice me. They're doing this against me. See? So that's a negative. When you think negative, then you become destructive. Destructive to yourself. Which way you become destructive to yourself is you are burning for that person's favor. Why has he got it? I don't have it. You're always in a state of gloom, agony, pain, grief, and you see anything that he's got, any other favor that he's got, and it brings pain to you. Now he had two shops, now you've got three shops. Hey, he's got three shops there. Eh? I got nothing still. Only that I'm still battling with the first one. Then he got the fourth shop and he's got another investment or something. Hey. Now, from envy, it will escalate. It won't stop at envy, it will escalate now. See, now this person, you will then begin to, your envy will prompt you to have wrong opinions about this person. He must be doing some underhand business, you know. He must be doing some underhand business. Yeah, he must be doing some drugs on the side, stolen goods. Otherwise, how can they just progress like that? They can't just progress like that. So now, you see, first it was envy. Then from envy, then it went on to suspicions and doubts. And that the doubt became a reality, you said, no, you confirmed your doubts, right? You saw something and you confirmed the doubts. After you confirm your doubts, then see the sins, one sin, the second sin, and now you're on the third sin. Now you'll go and also discuss it with others. You know, this chap here, he's drugging, man. He is dealing in stolen goods. See that? So now you broadcast that. Rebirth you're involved in, hasad you're involved in, and you're also involved in malice. Right? In the hadith it comes that twice in the week Allah Ta'ala announces forgiveness for one and all. But that person who harbored malice for his brother, Allah Ta'ala keeps his matter in suspense. Leave this person, others all are forgiven. So this person works towards his own disaster. Whereas everybody else is working for their progress, this person is working towards his disaster. Right? So say, for example, even if it was that your senior or someone had favored one person against you, then too it wasn't your work to become envious and to become jealous. Rather work positively, that the giver is Allah Ta'ala, his doors haven't closed, they are closing, so what? I don't need to worry about it. So the real giver is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Everything else is just a messenger on the path. Qasid, rasta ka, qasid. He's just a messenger, he's just passing it on. Like how a postman, he only delivers, he just passes it on. He is not the giver, the bestower is someone else. The bestower is Allah Ta'ala. So that tree that you've got is just a messenger on the path, he's just passing it on. Right? The green grocer that is selling the fruit, he is also just passing it on. He is not the maker, not the manufacturer, not the producer. He just passes it on. So everybody else that is on the line from the time that it was produced till it reached you was just a person that was passing it on, whether it was the tree, whether it was the orchard, whether it was the farmer, whether it was the green grocer, whether it was the person that purchased it and brought it to you. Every person is just a qasid on the road. He just passed it on to you. The actual giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the positive way of looking, and this is the negative way of looking. Why should we go negative? Why should we bring hurt to ourselves, pain, destruction, agony, grief? Why should we bring to that? What do you get out of that? Then you bring pain to the next person. If that person hears that you are envious and you are jealous and you are scandalizing about him, broadcasting about him, against him, how does he feel? So you've hurt him as well, and you have created dissension, a division amongst people. Because you're going to discuss it to one person, perhaps you'll discuss it with your wife, or your wife will discuss it with you. Okay, why this person is being favored? Then your wife will discuss it to her circle of friends, you will discuss it with your circle of friends. Then there's a whole tug-of-war going on. You've become one party, and he's become another party, and you are, Shaitan is the only person that is rejoicing in this whole episode, this whole thing. The only person that is winning is Shaitan. You're not winning, and you're not allowing your brother to win. So both of you all have lost. Who's won the game? It was just Shaitan that lost the game. That won the game. Otherwise, both of you lost. So this evil, many a times, this evil can be a catalyst to good as well. Once there was a need to write on Shiaism, you know, so I was advising someone to write on it. So that person got very upset. Hey, you know, what these people are doing, and how can they do such a thing, and whatever. So I told him, all right, see, there's a positive end to this. How can there be a positive? This is kufr, shirk, and what else? So I told him, there's a positive end towards this as well. So what is the positive on this? I caught him by surprise. The positive on this is, you see, that if there wasn't this type of a wrong movement, it wouldn't have given you the opportunity to open up 10 kitabs, think about it, pen something, make a research, understand from the Quran, from the Hadith, etc., write a proper treatise on this subject, if there wasn't this. Now there is this thing here, so it gives you the opportunity to open up so many kitabs, to research the thing, to pen something down, make fikr about it, talk to people about it. So it came about because of this thing here. So shaitan intends something evil, but you can capsize him by taking it from the other end. So he's thinking of something, but you can capsize him, you can throw him up. So you took it from the positive end, you see. So the shaitan will, especially in i'tikaf and especially in Ramadan, I see a lot of people complain about stray thoughts. People thought in Ramadan, why Tabat Allah Bakhtar was best? There are some reasons, I don't want to get into the reasons. But people suffer from stray thoughts, then they start getting worried. So why take it negatively? Take it positively. Take it positively. How you take it positively? Shaitan, see, you're troubling me. I'm going to score now, because you're troubling, and I'm making sabr, so I'm going to get the sawab. So you're getting lost out. You don't have to get into a dialogue, but think to yourself that he is losing. He's burning, right? When the other shaitans are chained up, the small, small ones, they are a little bit loose, you see. So they're running around wild. When they're running around wild here, and they're causing some problem for you. So you must take advantage of it. You see, hey, you're trying to mess me up. I will do something else. I'll fix you up again. But like I say, don't get into a discussion and say, yeah, I'll mess you up, I'll do this and this. Who are you? What do you think of yourself? Where you came from? No, don't talk like that. Just throw him down and carry on your work. You throw him down and you carry on your work. So how are you going to throw him down? Is you'll celebrate. Say, hey, I'm getting opportunity for sawab again. I'll think more of Allah Ta'ala now. I'll make more zikr. And Allah has given me better opportunities. Because if he wasn't there, I wouldn't have struggled. Right? He's here and I'm struggling, right? Right? If you are in a wrestling match or in a boxing match, right? If your opponent is weak, thin, scrawl little boy, right? So are you going to train up for him? Say, two shots is enough for him. Give one, two shots and I'll drop him down. Why he's so weak, he's so frail, he's so thin, useless. So one, two shots, I'll just drop him down. But if he's strong then, so he's giving you an opportunity to become strong. Hey, now I'll go for training, I'll do this, I'll go there, go for training and I'll become so much more stronger. Right? So who's giving you the opportunity to become strong? This opposition. So you can look at everything in a positive way. Why must we go negative? As Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, he was with his murids, and they came to a city center where they saw a thief was being executed to death. They put him onto the cross and they were about to kill him. So he found out what happened. So now this person stole for the first time, so they amputated the first right hand. He stole for the second time, then he amputated the left leg. Then he stole for the third time, they amputated the left hand. Now he's carrying on, and he's carrying on. So now the king has decided to kill him. So Junaid Baghdadi went and held his hands with so much of love and feeling, and he kissed his feet. So his murid said, "Bhai, this person is an outright robber, chor, daku hai, tu jaakar ke uske kadamon ko chumta hai. He's a chor and daku, and then you are kissing the feet." So he says, "Main to istiqamat ke kadam ko chumta hu. I'm kissing the feet of istiqamat. See? I'm kissing the feet, but the feet of what? Of istiqamat. Steadfastness. He's so steadfast. He's got onto something. And no matter what they did, he did this, the king stole, they cut his hand, they cut his foot, everything else. But he never say no. He never died. He never said no. He went on. Allah grant us that steadfast. Under all circumstances, but we are straight on. You're committed. No matter what he says, that person says, that person, fourth person says, let them say what they need to say. It's my business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that, I need to be very, very steadfast. So one is to appreciate and one is to take a positive end. Now, Shaitan is going to do all these stupid things. Now, why must we get into him? He talk about Darwin and whatever else. But you carry on with that. I got my business to do. You know, when we go to Jannah, we'll think of Darwin afterwards. Now we're too busy. It's the season. Now imagine if your shop is, you know, your tills are just ringing one way. And someone wants to make stories about Darwin and whatever else. After the season is over, then we'll discuss. So our season ends up with Jannah. Before Jannah, our season didn't end. So you got no time for all these things here. Oh, who is this and who is Hashim Amla and who is Fala. But be it as they may, right? Good or whatever they are. But we'll discuss these people after we enter into Jannah. But before Jannah, just leave us, let's do our business now. So you don't have to get engaged into a discussion with these people. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, and in his zamana, the masla of the Khalq al-Quran had come up. It's a long masla now. I don't want to get into the nitty-gritties because I'll create another doubt in your minds, right? I'll tell you the masla and all that. So it is of quite a high level, academic level. And you find the 4th, 5th, 6th year kitabs have got this entire discussion. But be it as it may, I don't want to get into that because sometimes you will understand the problem, but you won't understand the answer. So why must I leave you in a state of suspense? Rather, don't talk about it at all, right? Although you'll be feeling a little bit intimidated, okay, why I'm not discussing it? You know, why I'm leaving it in suspense? So that is a little better than me putting you into a state of anxiety. Now, you don't know how this thing happened, why it happened, and whatever else, right? So forget that. So, when he was faced with the trial, see the steadfastness. When you give yourself to something, then you give yourself. Then, Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you'll come to the Mahmud and Iyaz story again, inshallah. But a little bit of suspense has to come so that you appreciate the story, you see. Suspense is good. If you think that suspense is not good, then you tell me, see, you got married, right? And one is the wife comes with you with a little bit of delay and hesitation, saying, well, come. So I'm just going to pack up the kitchen, just going to get this thing right, and then I'll come, you know. And one is she responds straight, just say, and she comes. What is better? The little bit of suspense is better, isn't it? She said, I'm just going to get the ironing right, halhajka, all the almaris and all that, put everything right, I'll come just now. In the meanwhile, you spend the whole etikaf, 40 days, 50 days. The roza is so long. And you want immediate attention, and she is dragging a little bit, see. So that little bit of out of mind, out of sight is good a little bit sometimes. See? It makes the heart grow fond a little bit. So the little bit is better. You know, a little bit of suspense is better, rather than happening straight. So the suspense is good because it creates a little bit more enthusiasm, right? Like now. Is one person he eats all the time. Does he enjoy iftar? Yeah. Like our South African crowd, right? I'm so sorry to say it, but our stomachs and our mouths are like machines working 24 hours. We ate just now, then we have chevro, and then we have Lay's chips. Then if that finished, then a little bit of ice cream, that finished. But what about something to just wash your mouth, you know? Take the sweet also, just clean your mouth a little bit. That finished. And then something else, some chewing gum, you know, make you feel nice and fresh, you'll be able to be more focused. So that your mouth doesn't have a chance to have a rest, stomach doesn't have a chance. That's why I think sometimes maybe South Africans will get jannah just because of the qurbani of the mouth and the stomach. All the time, 24 hours, non-stop, on duty. The right thing is, for our own health, the better thing is, we eat in intervals, at least minimum 6 hours. I found that to be very healthy. 6 or 8 hours. Life is better for about 8 hours, but if you eat in that interval, you'll see you'll eat very well. And the other thing is your stomach has a chance. It has a break. Right? It has a break Now it's happy, it's got a break now, no, I got no work to do. Now how you understand the comfort of the stomach through a break, you know, like the children went to school, right? And at 2 o'clock the bell rang and they must go out, they must go out. So don't you hear, hey, they're shouting and big noise coming out from the school. When they're coming in, do you hear a big noise? You don't hear a big noise, right? They'll come in very calmly, heads are down, a little bit gloomy and all that. But when the bell goes, there's a big noise. So they're celebrating, right? But just for example, argument's sake, hypothetical, right? After the bell rang and they just went out 2 steps or 10 steps out of the school, and then must they call them back, see, I got one more period to teach you. How will they feel? Will they feel miserable? They feel really miserable. Hey, he announced chutti for us and he's calling us back. So this is how the stomach feels as well. So you ate at finish. When you finished eat, then the stomach said, no, alhamdulillah, you know, I finished my work now. I said, no, again, some chero, some lace chips, some sweet, some chewing gum, some chocolate, some tea after that, a little bit of ice cream. Now the stomach says, hey, no end here, man. On call you must be on duty, any time, anywhere, all the time must be on duty. So how the stomach feels. So that thing feels also miserable. It's got a brain of its own. You know, like how we have a computer. The stomach also has a computer of its own. It can think. Also understands. The stomach and all this whole system, if it didn't know how to think, how it would have separated all the nutrients and all this is amount of vitamins I need to take, that calories and that what you call proteins, whatever, to mix it up and make into blood. So there is some system inside. Whoever is doing the system, whether it is the liver or the kidney, whatever. But there are some systems there that is separating everything. So it's got a computer of its own for doing all this. So be at least considerate to your stomach. Then you will find that the month of Ramadan becomes very, very easy. Because you have disciplined yourself to eat in intervals, not to continuously eat. 7 hours, at least six, seven hours, you know, it'll be like you did half the rosa, you know, 6, 7 hours at intervals you ate, you know, then as though you trained yourself for half that rosa. And in the short day, it's so easy, simple, by the grace of Allah, like you just ate now, and again, just now it's iftar again. So that rosa becomes so easy, so simple, so enjoyable. You don't have any complaints. Right? So we were talking of Hazrat Gangoi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, before that we spoke of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi. So his story is quite lengthy, but just the brief of it. So he was on his way to Thanabhuvan or somewhere on that route, on that line. You know, you get Thanabhuvan, Jalalabad, Gangu, all one line, you see. So he was going in that line, and it was some wedding function or something. So en route, he felt that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is one of his senior. Let me go and pay him my respects as well. In his studying days, when they were studying under Maulana Mamluk Ali Sahib Rahmatullah, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah would come, and his ustad would show a lot of respect. So the people in the past, this is what they would do. In fact, I look at their lives, and I see what was the winning thing, what made them win. The thing that made them win was they had a lot of respect, a lot of regards. They saw the ustad showing respect. So they didn't want to debate the thing that ustad showed respect to is a senior person. So we also need to show respect, and we need to show some type of regards for him. We can't just ignore this. So on the way, we need to go and respect him, show him respect and regards. You don't know, that little act of respect and the way it can take you is one step towards righteousness. I mean, jazai al-hasanati al-hasanatu ba'daha. When you're taking one step towards righteousness, Allah Pak takes you again, further and further. Because you're appreciating, like we spoke about appreciating. I put something before you, you're appreciating it. You're appreciating it, I'll elevate you. You appreciate that, I'll elevate you. So this aspect of appreciation and respect is a little bit deleted from our lives. In this modern age, see, through the blessings of the circular education, respect is gone, and consideration, regards, appreciation, all is gone. See, that's the barakat of the modern age. See, it's a time like throwaway. Plates, you just throw away. Now here someone tells me that even underwear they got throw away. You just use 1-2 days and you throw it away. So this type of mentality is not good. Our mentality is la tubathir, don't waste. Appreciate, respect. small things or big things, but don't see the thing itself. See the bestow. It was a topi, it was a hanky, it was a tissue, whatever it was, small thing, it was a big thing. Don't look at the littleness of that item, but think about who is the giver, who bestowed this. Do you think about that? Small favors, really, they are great. You are going to a shop, right, and you want to buy a loaf of bread, and you're short of 20 cents, they don't want to give you that bread. So that 20 cents also is great. When you're stuck, then they won't give it to you. So appreciate that little that you've got, appreciate it. It's in excess, at least you'll enjoy, your neighbor will enjoy, some poor person will enjoy, but don't waste it. When I was a little boy, I used to be working in the shop, you know. So I would see people coming, more the underprivileged class, they would eat sour milk, take sour milk and brown bread. Quarter of the sour milk they are throwing away, and that bread, the crumbs, you know, the outer, that, what do you call that? Crust. The crust of it, they put into, make it a shoe and they're playing. So I should think to myself, hey, how can this community ever progress? How can they prosper? The right thing is, it's a ni'mat, it's a favor of Allah Ta'ala. Small as it is, you couldn't finish it, leave it, maybe you can enjoy for the next meal. Maybe the poor person can eat it. See? Or maybe even if you can't enjoy it, at least an animal will enjoy of it. But wasting it and making a, you know, mockery of the favors of Allah Ta'ala really is not on. It's not the right thing. So you can't prosper. The little favors also, just be appreciative and you see how you'll win. You enjoy it, at least your neighbor will enjoy it, or the poor person enjoys it, or an animal can enjoy, or even an insect can enjoy crumbs of bread, and you saw on the corner, and maybe ants or something, cockroaches are there, so you left it outside the house, those ants can eat at least. At least you were considerate, but it's wasted, Allah doesn't like. So this was the cornerstone in the lives of the old people. They were very considerate, very, very respectful. It's not a good thing, but it's one line, an old song they used to say, you know. Jo vaada kiya ho, nibahna parega. You know, the promises that you make, you have to consider, you have to respect it. You can't just ignore it. So it's a vada, it's a promise that you made with Allah Ta'ala, that I am your banda, I'll appreciate. So Allah is saying you, jo vaada kiya ho, nibahna parega. You made a promise with me, you'll have to be considerate. It's like a line of love, you know. Allah is giving you a line of love. You made some promises to me, and by respect our love at least. That's what Allah is telling you, respect and consider our love. Imagine if your wife has to tell you, no, we married, in love we married. So that love of ours, you must consider that. How do you feel? Your heart melt, doesn't your heart melt? We married and we married with love, right? Your father tells you, you know, we joined up with love. So you need to respect and be considerate to this love of ours. Don't disregard it. How do you feel? Doesn't it shake your heart a little bit? Jo vaada kiya ho, nibahna parega. You made a promise, then that promise must be respected. Don't ignore that promise. So, see, you get these small things right, then the bigger things, they come. You see like an old person, right? Say 75, 80. You look, his whole mannerisms are different. Respect, etiquette, considerate. They're very, very considerate. Very respectful, very considerate, very appreciative. They may not be too much, but these things really is a savior to the life. You're considerate, you're respectful, you're appreciative, right? So, any person's heart melts. One child is arrogant, attitude, wasteful, though he's smart, but he's like that. So you don't like that. Though because of his smartness, you will cover up all his weaknesses, but you don't like that of his. But this one here, maybe not too intelligent, but he's appreciative, he's good, mannerisms he's got, he's humble in his ways, he's appreciative. Don't you love him? Your heart just connects with him. He may not be very intelligent, he may not be super intelligent, but he's the small things, appreciation, love, respect, consideration, for everything, an old person, young person, even your worker, your teachers, your teachers of old, you know, whether they taught you the bigger kitabs or the smaller kitabs, you're appreciative of everybody in your dua in Ramadan. You're making dua for them also, that teacher that taught me from the preschool and so forth and so on, make dua for them as well. Even for the non-Muslim teachers, Allah give them hidayat. So appreciation. Even the non-Muslim, he taught me 1 + 1 = 2. He taught me English. Allah give them hidayat. Bring them near to Islam. At least some appreciation, love, respect, consideration. So these are the things that really build up your empire. So if you can just bring it, you know, in the i'tikaf, I think if we get this, I think we have scored big way, we have scored. So Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah is en route. And he comes to Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah asks him, where are you off to? So he had two plans. One was to go for that, he attended that wedding, whatever. Then he also had an intention to go and discuss something with Sheikh Muhammad, that is the peer by of Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah. Both of them are murid to the same Sheikh, as Mu'anun Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah. So he was clear about what he wanted to do, to go and discuss something. He said, this is what I want to discuss. I think he's erred, and I need to correct him. Right. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah's response was this, Are, ye to hamara bare hai. I can still picture Hadi Sahib, Hazaji Rahmatullah saying, Are, ye to hamara bare hai. Oh, this is our senior, you know, it's our senior. Whereas Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah was much senior. Right? In what you see, maybe in one dimension he must have been bigger, right? But overall, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah was greater. But still he recognized the seniority of the person. And that Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, in age, he is less. So even for the fact that he is less in age, but more in ilm, and that person is advanced in age, Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah said, Are, ye to hamara bare hai. It's our big, our elder. See, I just changed my intention straight away. Then I didn't argue the merits. Okay, you know, they must, Amar bil Maruf, Nahi an Munkar, I must get that thing right. I must even the plane, get them to think right and all that. No. See, when you have got an elder and we are listening to him and we committed, then your mind is very calm. Your mind is very settled. But if you don't have the respect, no appreciation, then your mind is not settled. You know, why, when, how, why did he do this? How can he do such a thing? So your mind will never be settled. But if you have the respect, the love, regards, etc., you see, your mind is automatically, no, it's my elder, and they know what I don't know. They have seen what I haven't seen. They have the experience that I don't have. So my fortune is just to listen to them and just move on. They know, they have seen the end, more or less. I haven't seen everything. My work is just to listen to them and carry on. Like, now you go to a dentist, so he says, open your mouth, make ah, make ooh. So you just carry on, right? You know, he knows his work. You don't think, hey, I'll open my mouth like that, look like a clown in front of everybody, you know, what they'll do. You don't think, you know, that this man knows his work. He knows his work. If you say make ah and ooh and all, I must just do what he says. At the end, inshallah, I'll be relieved of the pain. But I say, now, the dentist may say, tells me, make ah, and ask 10 questions. Why? Who told you? Where you got it from? And which kitab it was written? What is the dalil for that? Then the dentist said, Jazakallah, you're too intelligent. That I don't have the time for you, right? That's what he'll tell you. Simple way is just listen. Listen, so long as the person that you're listening to is great, he's understanding, listen to him and move on. And you'll see, things will just open out for you as you move on. You keep questioning, and you won't get any type of progress. So Hadi Sahib told him what? Ye to hamare bare hai. Anyway, the incident goes on, and thereafter, Hadi Sahib he thought of staying on for a day. And then from one day, carried on, about 40 days he stayed, right? So the second day that he was around, so Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah saw the potential in Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. This man is great. He saw the potential. You know, like, it's like a trainer. You go to a gym. So the trainer sees that this man here, he's got potential. So when he's got potential, then I want to exploit the potential. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah checked him. The man has got potential. I was exploited. He'll become some person one day, inshallah. So he told him, all right. See, his bed must be in the same room. So Hadith Sahib got off for zikr. When he got off for zikr, Gangur Ahmad is just freshly qualified. So he heard the zikr, so he said, let me turn, you know, and sleep away. Till the morning now, not used to tahajjud and all that. So Karwat Badal came as soja, just turn the side, sleep again. Like how your sleep breaks, you just turn the side and move on. So he says, sleep is not coming still. Say, hey, why must I waste the night? Let me join the zikr. So he joined the zikr. In the morning, Hadi Sabran tells him, Are tu to aisa zikr karta hai, isa koi purana tajrabakar zikr karta ho. You making zikr like an old person trained for so long is making zikr. Anyway, then I took bayat. Gangaram says, I took bayat afterwards. Then they asked him, Phir kya hua, Hazrat? Now that sentence to get you to this sentence, I give you this whole introduction. So this is a sentence that I want you to buy. He says, Are to phir to hum to mar mite. After that, then we gave ourselves. Then we didn't look, how we say, you know, when I opened that business, then I didn't look backwards. You don't hear people saying, you know, we started that business, after that I didn't look backwards. So this is what he's saying, I didn't look backwards after. Then I went and I went full. Then I didn't look backwards at all. Just around that time, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had seen a dream, you know. In the dream he sees, Hadi Sahib until then, he wasn't married. So some of his family women, they used to prepare the food for his guests. They used to get guests, some murid, some people coming for the sake of deen, they used to prepare the food and feed them. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali sees that Rasulullah SAW entered his residence and asked the woman, move away. I am going to take care of the guest of Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hadi Sahib's guest, I will take care of them, so you move away. Hadi Sahib said that, I understood from this, that now ulama-i kiram are going to come in. Because the ulama-i kiram are the guests of Nabi SAW. Aren't they the duyufun Nabi SAW? They are the guests of Nabi SAW, so I understood. And then the first person to come in was Hazrat Ganguly Rahmatullah. So the dream also supported it, and his own estimation, his own discretion also, he said, this man got some potential. So look at the sentence, what he says, Are to phir to hum mar mite. After that, we just gave ourselves, we didn't look backwards after that. So we've got this short duration, short stay, and what is required here is that we appreciate. Like I said, we just got this respect, appreciation, regards. Don't ask these things. The person that is guiding you, he knows about it. He understands it. Right? When he understands it, he's seen the path. Then just look at him and move on. Look at him. Don't show that you are more smart and why, when, who, when. I must listen to him. Most of that is shaitanic. Shaitan also objected. Why must I prostrate? Why must I do this? He also objected. He came towards the objection. He went out to denial. What happened to him? He got marching orders, get out, marching orders, perpetual, ukhruj minha, inna alayka la'anati ila yawmiddin, till the end of time, because you are cursed, finished, rejected, kalas. So this is just shaitanic thought, why, when, who, he said, you know, when you want to do a thing, that you don't ask these 10 questions, right? You want to go to toilet, right? So you ask someone, nice, respectable person, where's the toilet? So you ask him, why, who, when, where's the proof? Is there water there? Is there a kettle there? Is there a chain there? Is it clean? Is it hygienic? Someone with AIDS wasn't visiting the toilet. You don't ask him the 20 questions. You ask him. You know, it's a reasonable person, so you ask him, and you move on with your life. But when you don't want to do a thing, you know, tu hi racha hai, to bahana hazar hai. When you don't want to do a thing, you fire up hundreds of questions. See? So when you understand that this is the path of Allah Ta'ala, path of righteousness, then how many of us can volunteer this day, the first day of the i'tikaf, that hum bhi mar mite, we give ourselves also. Volunteer and then give yourself. You don't have to give your name. I can't take tashkil and won't make a record of it. But give yourselves. Give yourselves. Between you and Allah, you know, at some point, I enjoyed life. After now, ate, drank, became a fat man. So much I ate, enjoyed, everything I enjoyed. But now I seen one part of life. Eating, drinking, woman, chocolate, sweet, confectionery, riding, running around everywhere, bergs everywhere, I've seen all that. One side of life I've seen. Now, I need to discover the other side of life, and for that I need to give myself to it. Let me go and see the other dimension of life. This is enough now. I can't just make my body, you know, a machine just for importing and exporting. Can't be just importing and exporting only. There's probably some other meaning to life. Like just importing, exporting, importing, exporting. No, I can't just have my life like that. What else? There must be some other meaning to life. Let me go and explore that meaning. So for that, what is required is that sab cheez se apne nazar ko hata de. Besides the beloved, turn your sight from everything. Why he came, why this person is doing that, I forget all these things here. Just keep the beloved in sight. In your heart, in your tongue, in your ear. At any given time, then keep the beloved in your eye, in your tongue, in your ear, in your heart. People are discussing other things, but I don't want to waste time with them. And they know what they are doing. But this is what I came for. Let me go and achieve that. So we become appreciative. We become thankful. We become more focused. We begin to understand things righteously. We gave ourselves a chance. And we think carefully that I gave, you know, a good portion of my life was in everything else. Entertainment, enjoyment, happiness. Good portion of my life. And then after 25, 30, then I've seen people dying, coming up, getting sick, going out of this world. I've seen that as well. And then I have to climb up the same ladder as well. I can't avoid that. Now, what should I do for myself? In our own cubicles, if we give ourselves some time, give yourself a break, give yourself a chance to think. I've seen life, I've seen the different dimensions of life, seen people coming up, then they're going on, and then they're passing on, and then never to return. They're passing on and never to return, right? So I'm seeing this whole, the whole journey of life, I'm seeing it before my eyes. Can't I give this a chance today? Can't I give this a break? Let me start it. Let me think at some point, can I do this? You know, or is it just eating and drinking, enjoying? ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلْ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. This is a kufar mentality, eating, drinking, enjoying, and lengthy ambitions, I'll do this and I'll do this. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. You know, كَلَامُ الْمُلُوكُ مُلُوكُ الْكَلَامُ. The words of Allah Ta'ala are the words of a king. He encapsulates everything, nothing is left. وَيُلْهِيمُ الْأَمَلْ. Your ambitions, your aspirations are just taking you, your dreams are just taking you. سَوْفَ يَعْلَمُ. Just now you will see the end of it. You will see the consequence, you will see the results of all what you have invested. What you have invested, you will see the end of it. So the right thing is, by in your cubicles, keep quiet, don't talk, don't discuss. Talk to yourself. What am I doing? What wrongs have I? How do I need to correct myself? What dimensions of life I need to take? Where I can add some more value to my life? Where can I add some value to my life? You think like this, Allah will definitely open up, you know. Personal things, and then Allah creates an opening for him. Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb Kare. The other stories, inshallah, some other time now. I carry on this now, then it will be 12:15. Azan time, won't be any chance.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just a few points with regards to our stay in i'tikaf. That firstly, once we have made the niyat of i'tikaf, of staying and remaining in the masjid, then we should remain within the boundaries of the masjid and only leave the masjid for an urgent need. For example, we need to relieve ourselves and go to the toilet, or we need a farz ghusl, or we need to perform wudu. And the boundaries of this masjid where we are in, the entire ground area, the enclosed area is part of the masjid, and also outside the area where the tent is, and also on the sides of the tent, that is also part of the masjid. And on my left, the right hand side of the masjid, the outside area is also part of the masjid. So the entire ground floor outside as well, and also the on my left or the right hand side of the masjid outside, that is also part of the masjid. And the area directly above here, that is part of the masjid. And the staircase on my left or the right hand staircase, that is part of the masjid. And the upper passage leading to this upper area is also part of the masjid. So these are the masjid areas So a person can remain within these boundaries once he has made the niyat of i'tikaf, and unnecessarily without any urgent need, one should not go out of the boundaries of the masjid. And the purpose of i'tikaf is that we isolate ourselves from all worldly and mundane affairs, and that we focus our attention entirely and totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during our stay, we should refrain from all types of la ya'ni. La ya'ni meaning the things that we stay away from, things that do not concern us. That whether it is idle and vain talks and discussions with people, or even doing any work or anything that will be of no benefit to us, or even reading material that will be of no benefit to us, for example, some Islamic magazine or unrelated books. So during this stay of ours, we should refrain from anything that is la ya'ni, that things will be that do not concern us and do not be of any benefit to us. And the month of Ramadan is the month of Quran, so we should dedicate our time and occupy ourselves in the tilawat and in the recitation of the Qur'an-i Majid. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also encouraged in the hadith that we should increase four things during the month of Ramadan. That the first is with regards to istighfar, we should increase our istighfar. The second is the recitation of the kalima la ilaha illallah. The third is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for jannat. And fourthly, begging Allah ta'ala's protection from the fire of Jahannam. So if we just recite continuously, make istighfar, astaghfirullah, read the kalima la ilaha illallah, and make this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. So we make this a continuous ma'mool as well. And this can also be attained that short intervals if we recite this. That for example, between the set of four rakats in the tarwiha, in our tarawih salah, so during that short sitting period, so up to 20 to 25 times you can recite the kalima la ilaha illallah at a soft pace, can recite the kalima and also the istighfar and also make this dua. So even those short intervals will not be wasted, but rather we'll be able to derive maximum benefit from even those short intervals and those short moments as well. And then we should also engage in lots of du'as, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us that the du'as of a fasting person, that these du'as are readily accepted, and more especially at the time of iftar. So these opportunities should not be wasted. And now that we are also in the environment of the khanka, then we should also reflect and ponder over our shortcomings. And thereafter, once we realize our shortcomings, we should thereafter seek advice on how to rectify and correct ourselves. That we shouldn't just understand that we have some problem, but not go forward. But rather, once we understand our problems, we should also seek counsel and advice as to how we should rectify ourselves. Then Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullahi used to also advise that whilst in i'tikaf, then we should adopt total silence and only talk out of need. And by doing so, a person will be able to value his time and he will be able to derive maximum benefit from every moment of this i'tikaf. And then whilst we are in i'tikaf, then there are those that would also be on khidmat. So those that are sitting in i'tikaf should also cooperate with those that are in khidmat. That for example, at the time of meals, we should not be doing such things that would be causing taklif to them. That after we have, for example, after we have completed our meals, then we shouldn't remain sitting on the dastarkhan and delaying the process of cleaning up the dastarkhan. Because the khidmat satis also have their own time and they also need to do their work as well. So we should also cooperate with them in order to ease their work and to make things easy for them. And likewise, those that are on khidmat, they should not feel that they are deprived of making ibadat. Because the khidmat that they are doing is enabling the rest of the mutakifin to carry out their ibadat comfortably. So they would also have a share in the sawab of the rest of the mu'takifin. So they will not be deprived of any reward and sawab, but in fact they would also be receiving from the sawab and rewards of the rest of the mu'takifin. And during our stay over here in i'tikaf, if we encounter any problem with some sati, or someone says something to us, or some problem occurs, then we should just bear it patiently and understand that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more sabr and patience a person exercises, the more will he be rewarded and the more sawab will he receive.